My name is Kermit, and I'm an addict.
Amen.
I'm clean today through the grace of God and Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm always humbled to do something like the history of NA. It's like, that's for those guys like in California with like 20 years clean. And my clean date is September 6th of 1981. So if you count that, it's 26 and a half years clean in Narcotics Anonymous, for which I am deeply grateful. What you heard that last reading, if you were listening to it going, what the hell is that? That was what we read in meetings every night when I got clean. And around 83 or 84, we made a motion to allow the Board of Trustees to review the White Book readings and to edit them to have a clear message of recovery from the disease of addiction in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And we came out with what was called Little White Book Newly Revised, which we should have some on the table here. And in that, when the motion came forward to make the changes, the Board of Trustees had showed us each change and why they made them, and they all made really good sense. A disease like alcoholism, diabetes, and tuberculosis is separating the drug alcohol and saying that that's one drug is separate from others. And the idea of endorsing another fellowship, we are deeply grateful to the AA Fellowship for pointing the way for us to a new way of life. Yes, we're deeply grateful, but we're not going to endorse it every night in a meeting. We'll put it at the beginning of our basic text, which is where an endorsement should be in that type of sense, at least in my mind. The seeds of Narcotics Anonymous were growing long before, not way long, but a ways before what we have in our literature, because it says NA as we know it began in 1953. That statement is because every group in the world can trace itself to that group of people in California that started something called Narcotics Anonymous. But before that, there was this fledgling idea that was going on in the federal detox in Lexington, Kentucky, called Addicts Anonymous and later Narcotics Anonymous. And this gentleman named Houston Sewell from Montgomery, Alabama, who had gotten sober in AA, and he had this buddy who was on morphine, and he was trying to help his buddy use the 12 steps. His buddy never got clean. But Houston moved to Lexington, and he met up with Dr. Vogel, who was the director of the federal detox. And in the 1940s, early 50s, there was only one place to get clean in America, and you had to basically be a jailbird to get there. And that was the federal detox in Lexington. And they tried this thing, and they started meetings called Addicts Anonymous. And this guy, Danny Carlson, was an addict from New York, a good addict. He went through this place 9 times trying to get clean, and he finally surrendered on his 9th time around the end of 1959, and he went back to New York and founded something called Narcotics Anonymous. And his story shows up in several early books. One of them is Monkey on My Back. There's one of the chapters in The Addict is about Danny. And that organization, also, there was a gentleman back then who was a priest, and he had made it his life calling to help addicts. And he was in the village in New York in that period of time. And he would go and help so many addicts that this bull Irish cop said to him one day, "What are you, some kind of junkie priest?" And he said, "Yeah." And he liked the name and his nickname ever since. His name was Father Dan Egan. And his nickname is the Junkie Priest. And he spoke at the World in Chicago in 1984. And in here, there's a story, one of the chapters says Wednesday Night at the Y, and it describes a 1950s Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And they have a table with a Serenity Prayer on it, and it sounds like a meeting. The problem with this organization was that they were more into social stuff. They were trying to get people jobs and housing and clothing and all this other stuff. And they got a story written in the Saturday Evening Post about them. And earlier in Alcoholics Anonymous history, they had a story published by Jack Alexander, and their fellowship exploded. It went from a very small group. They also had a book that was being written at the time as well, which helped to clarify their message. And the New York group thought this was really going to kick butt and that they were going to get a lot of donations, and I think they got like $5. And they put together a board for this NA, and these are the incorporation papers, a copy of them, for the Narcotics Anonymous before the one we knew. What happened was Danny died from cancer about 2 years later. His buddy Ray Lopez had gotten a job for the city of the New York City Narcotics Division. So her office, half her office was NA and the other half was New York City Narcotics Division. And NA New York died. A second detox had been opened up in, Houston? And in Texas, Fort Worth, I'm sorry. And they were having these kind of Addict Anonymous meetings, and they were sending these people out back to their home communities, and they had a little newsletter that they called The Key. And this will come in more clear in a few minutes. Around the same time in LA, there was these meetings called HFD, or Habit Forming Drugs, and Jimmy Kay, who's considered our founder, there's a picture of him up here with a little newcomer Kermit. I had 3 years, I knew everything. I knew enough that somebody said, "That's Jimmy Kay." I said, "Oh, okay, let me take my picture with him." That was it, my 5 minutes of fame, right? And most of them were going to AA, and they decided to have a meeting, and there's actual business minutes of that meeting. I was trying to find my copies to make copies for you guys. What you have in your hand that we passed out is the very first meeting list of meetings outside of California. And it was developed at one of the earliest world conventions. And it was, as you can see, there's maybe, I don't know what, 18 some odd meetings, 20 meetings on the list in all of America. So this group in California got together, and there's business minute meeting, minutes, they're handwritten, and it says that on this date, this group of people, and the people actually signed a meeting sheet, which is has been copied with that. It says, we're going to form the first San Fernando Valley AANA. And they elected Jimmy as their chair. And Jimmy said, you know, your motion to create this AANA is out of order. And they ruled him out of order. And Jimmy said, well, you need to write to AA World Services if you're going to use their name. And they wrote and got back a letter that you can use the steps and adapt them, but you can't use the name. So they made a motion later on, a couple pages in, to change the name from San Fernando Valley AANA to Narcotics Anonymous. In the early 80s, I was working on the World International Committee, and there was a lot of people from other countries that kept telling us our name is wrong. They said, you know, if addiction is addiction, how come we have this name Narcotics at the front? In the 1940s, every drug was a narcotic. Marijuana was a narcotic, cocaine was a narcotic, speed was a narcotic. They were all considered narcotics. What happened in our discussions and talking with the fellowship was that nobody wanted to give up their NA t-shirts. So we had to tell people that it was basically a brand name like Coca-Cola, Narcotics. You know. And so we've kept the name. So this group met several times, and they made it. And in their minutes, in their first readings, they said, we take our purpose from the key. And the key, we believe, is that Lexington, Kentucky little newsletter from that group back then. And if you read some of their early literature, it sounds just like us. You know, it just reads like us. There's some interesting stuff. This is the 1956 White Book. This is the first piece of literature that NA ever made. And in the front it has questions. These are great. I love reading this stuff. Do you lose time from work due to using? Is using making your home life unhappy? Do you fix because you're shy with other people? Is using affecting your reputation? Have you ever felt remorse after fixing? Have you ever gotten into financial difficulty as a result of using? Do you turn to lower companions and inferior environment when using? Let me know if you miss any of these guys. Does your using make you careless of your family's welfare? Okay, so it's got about 12 questions. No, it's got 20 questions. If you answer yes to any one of these questions, you may be an addict. That was great. The early NA had a lot of trouble, and what Jimmy talked about is always personalities over principles. One individual would want to, he'd want to make it like TC, what we call, they call that therapeutic community. We call it torture chamber. And they wanted confrontational type meetings. And they had, NA about 1959 ended up into one meeting in the world. And it was in a detox called the Schreier's. And it was an alcohol detox, so they called it the Schreier's Dryer. And they had a meeting, and they said that the format of the meeting was show of hands. So I assume that meant you raise your hand and they pick you. Well, that format is they'd ask how many addicts are in the room, and they'd raise their hand. And they'd say how many alcoholics are in the room, and they'd raise their hand. If there was more alcoholics, they had an AA meeting. If there was more addicts, they had an NA meeting. So the meeting died. Imagine that. And one of the women that was in the early group went back, and they found like a basket with a few dollars and then a couple pieces of literature. And they got together with Jimmy and some other people, and they decided that they were going to stick by the traditions and run this thing right. And one of the earliest meetings was at Rhodes and Moore Park and in Hollywood. And at the World Convention, the 30th anniversary of NA, or the 50th anniversary of NA, they had a meeting at the front of the room, and it was called 30-something. And everybody who was in that meeting, who shared, they sat up at the front of the podium, and they had couches, and it looked like an old meeting place. And they read out of that 56 white book, and every single one of them had more than 30 years clean in Narcotics Anonymous. And they'd all gotten clean in that Rhodes and Moore Park meeting. And they were standing in front of over 20,000 recovering addicts. And these guys stuck it out and kept the door open if one person would get clean. That was that was in that original reading that they wrote, that we would commit to meet for 1 year, believing that one recovery was significant. One. In the early 70s, there was, in Atlanta, Georgia, there was they had seven meetings a week of NA, and there was this guy, Bo S., who he'd done a lot of, helping addicts on the streets for years, but he couldn't stay clean himself, and he finally got back to NA, and he had like 5 years clean at the time. And the talk in Atlanta was, who's writing our book? Well, they were sure that somebody, like Jimmy was writing the book, and Jimmy felt some newcomer was going to show up and write the book, and nobody was writing our book. And my sponsor, Greg Pierce, he's passed away. Greg was the, the president of the World Service Board of whatever directors or whatever they had back then. And he was the only one trying to get anything going on a book for recovering addicts. And he'd even sent out a dope fiend letter saying, the book's getting written, you better send your stuff in. And he got no input. So Bo, flew out to the World Convention in San Francisco at the Jack Tar Hotel and looking to find out who's writing our book. Now, Bo's been through organizations and all these other things, and he's not going to take no for an answer. He's going to keep going until he finds out what's going on. And he was there for the first day, and after about 20 minutes, he met every mover and shaker in NA. It was very small. It was only maybe a couple hundred people at the whole World Convention. And, he met Jimmy, and finally he was taken to Greg, and he started to talk with Greg. And he spent the whole weekend talking with this guy. And he went back home with a dedication. And, you know, when I asked Greg to describe each person, he said, Bo was the P.T. Barnum of N.A. P.T. Barnum was a guy with made circuses, and he could get everybody involved in a thing and get them all excited, and that's what Bo's piece was. Bo was dedicated to this idea. And he sent Greg a postcard a couple months later, and it was like, you know, Dear Greg, send my love to Lois and the kids. Guess who bought a typewriter? And that typewriter is the beginning of the basic text. You know, he wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. I went to his house a few years ago, and he pulled out archives from his mom's attic, and he opened up this box that said archives, and I was like, damn, this is the archives of the archives, you know? And he had pictures of the rough drafts of the NA book. They had walls of these things, and I'll get to that. And he had this piece of paper. He handed it to me, and I read it, and it said like 1978 or something on it. It said, many books have been written about the nature of addiction. This book pertains itself to the nature of recovery. Bo had this idea before one sentence was written in our text that we read today. So they elected, Greg said, Bo, send out a letter, you know, to the fellowship. He said, well, I'm not anybody. He said, oh, no, you're on the Board of Trustees World Literature Committee. Threw him a title, and Bo wrote a letter, and, you know. And the next year he went to the World Business Meeting, and they elected him chairman of World Literature with a mandate to write a basic text. And nobody knew how to do this because we'd never written a book. But what they met in the middle of America for their first meeting, and they sat down and decided that they were going to take the chapters from the little white book, you know, Who Was an Addict, Why Are We Here, More Will Be Revealed. And then they got this idea, and they took all the input that people had sent in, and they cut it into little paragraphs and sentences and statements, and they looked at it, and they said, okay, where does this fit? And they put all the pieces that fit, and more will be revealed over here, and we do recover over here, and recovery and relapse over there, and da-da-da-da-da. And then they put it together on a page, and then they started to write little sentences to connect it. And they read the first page that they got, and they all started to cry because they knew they had the formula. They just had to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and refine it and repeat it and refine it. The basic text is a cut and paste job. You know? They got all this stuff together over several course of a year in different workshops in different parts of the country, and they ended up in Memphis, Tennessee at a 9-day workshop, and the only thing they didn't have was the traditions, and Greg was writing them. He'd been in the board of trustees for years. Greg, they were going to fly him to Memphis because he was living in Oregon, but they couldn't wait. They were in such a roll that they got this woman to sit down, and she was a real fast typist, right? And they called Greg, and Bo held the phone up to this lady's ear while she typed. And Bo edited the stuff and read it out loud to her, and she typed away page after page after page after page. And it was a 4-hour phone call. And at the end of this, they handed that tradition section to the Board of Trustees to group conscience. That was their decision, that they would do the Board of Trustees, guardians of the traditions. And it came back with nary a change. The way it came out of Greg's mind is the way you read it today in your book, right? And they had just a lot of miracles happen while they were doing this stuff. These people were so dedicated. There was addicts that went out and sold their blood to raise money to keep the project going. And one guy was a biker, Jim, from Missouri. He sold his motorcycle and donated the money because he believed so much in this cause. This guy, Roger, from New York, showed up just out of the blue, and he got sucked into the process, and they set him up with a job to call every place around the world and try to find an NA member. And he would call AA numbers in foreign countries and treatment centers in different places so that they could find someone to send the rough draft to. And I apologize, I don't have my rough draft with me, but it's a big spiral notebook thick, and it's got a gray cover on it, and we call it a gray book. And it's the first piece of literature larger than a white book, and it's the rough draft of the basic text of NA. And that book was sent out to every group and persons that they could find, which was 1,000. That's how many they made, basically. And everybody gave input to that, and they finally ended up with a draft in Santa Monica, California. And they boiled it down to this. And this is what, when these came off from the office, this is the first half of the basic text. And these come up from the office, they had a slick cover on it. It was like a cardboard kind of slick cover. So we call it a slicky or a white floppy. And this is the first thing I saw bigger than a white book in Narcotics Anonymous. When I got clean, there was a white book and five pamphlets. And when we found this, it was heaven, you know. And we all started making copies of it. My future ex-wife, my previous wife, the plaintiff, she was living in Michigan at the time and real active in the literature process, and they were making 400 at a time and giving them out to everybody. And the office wrote them a cease and desist letter, and they said, oh, we got to make one more batch. And they made one more batch, and they took the top copy off, and they wrote on it and sent it to the office. And when the office opened it up, it said, recovery can't wait. So all this stuff was voted on at the World Service Conference, and we approved that half of the basic text. There's another section with the stories in it, and this was the story section approval form. And basically, there's a checklist in here, and you're supposed to go through and pick out the stories that you liked, and you send the checklist in. And they pretty much ran out of time, and they just took every story they had a copyright release for. And it was approved as our basic text of Narcotics Anonymous. Before the book was printed, Jimmy had a problem with a couple of the traditions, and he refused to print it. The traditions, second and ninth, I believe it is. Somebody else can correct me, but it says, what about our service boards, our committees, are these things NA? And the book that we all voted yes to said, no, these are not NA. These are group services a group may or may not choose to utilize, which puts higher levels, higher, lower, whichever way you want to look at it, other levels of service in a different ego place. NA is the group that meets on Friday night and the body that runs that group. That's Narcotics Anonymous. All else is not NA. The other line said that service boards or committees cannot decide, rule, dictate, or censor. Well, this service committee decided, ruled, and dictated to censor those two lines. What happened was the Board of Trustees chair, the World Service Office Board chair, and the chair of the conference got together and said, we're going to sign off on these changes because we want to get this book written. Because if we don't, it's going to take another 2 years. And we're going to take the heat. And they signed off, and we produced a red limited first edition basic text. This was produced for $25 a piece. And each one has a number on it, a page that says first edition, and then there's a number on it. And there was supposed to be 2,500, and mine's 2,863. But Bo said that a printer usually does a run that's more than what you order, and it gives you more books at a cheaper cost. So this is the first basic text. Okay, the money. They paid a guy to do this, and the guy ran off with the money, an addict. And one of the women that worked at the company promised the people that they would get it done, and they ended up getting it done and printed. Then we came out with a first edition, which is this one. This is a blue first edition. And in my mind, these are a lot rarer than the red ones. See, the red ones cost us a lot of money, so we put them up on bookshelves and in glass cases, and we didn't give them out. The blue ones were $8, and we gave all ours to newcomers. We had something we called a book baby, and that was somebody who came into an NA meeting, and we could give them a book because we could never do that before. And so we gave all our first editions away, and then newcomers, you know, wrote in them and everything else. The It Works How and Why, I'm going to kind of jump around because I've spent a lot of time on this one. The It Works How and Why, we came up with a blue rough draft of this, which is this one. And the folks that were in World Services at the time said, well, the basic text is so jumbled, we'd like to have one writer do it and put it all in one voice, and it'll sound really good. And so they made a motion, and it got approved to, it wasn't approved. They went to the manager of the World Service Office, Bob Stone, and asked him if they could borrow $100,000, I think it was that, or $50,000, between that, or $50,000 and $100,000, to hire a professional writer to write our literature, to actually take all the input from our literature and put it into one voice. And they came to the World Service Conference, the World Lit Committee, said, we've spent this money, what should we do? And the fellowship said, well, let's see what we get for our money. You already spent it. And so the writer came out with the book, which is this, which is the rough draft, the approval form of It Works How and Why. So it went from this blue book, and she went around the country taping members with a lot of clean time and taking that input and going right to approval. So. And the powers that be who had invested all this money in it were real excited, and we're going to do this book. My wife and I and my mentor, Larry North, and Grateful Dave, who some folks have heard about, went down to North Carolina to a World Conference quarterly to talk to him about this book. The woman was not a very good writer. The woman was in Alcoholics Anonymous for 13 years, so she wrote a book about powerless over drugs, because that's what made sense to her. The word drugs is on 9 times on the first page in step 1. In the second step, she talked about us being whipped. We were whipped. We were really whipped. The incredible thing was just how whipped we are. We were whipped like 8 times on one page. In the third step, she said, why do we have to face such a hard step so early on? And on and on and on. And these are the books that we wrote in, and these are the books that we read out of. We had a business meeting. We asked them, actually the chair, nice guy Jack from California, asked Dave, you know, are you the spokesman for this group of people? Because they'd heard that we were there to talk about it. And he said, you know, no, but I'm with them and whatever. And he said, well, we'll have a meeting at 8 o'clock tonight, and the World Lit chair and myself will, you know, listen to what you have to say. And Larry and I put some signs up on the wall, and, you know, It Works meeting, 8 o'clock. And we went out to dinner. We were a little late. Came back to this meeting, and every world-level trusted servant was in this room. They all wanted to hear what we had to say. And all we did was open the book and read out loud. And you could see their mouths dropping and their jaws coming down. And they made a motion not only to not approve It Works, How, and Why, but to pull it from the thing. And they had a business meeting where they made everybody go in a room that was on both sides of this question, and they said, you can't leave this room until you come up with an answer. And they came up with we're going to have world level meetings around the country and let people come to these things and participate. And we were given the blue section and her section and asked to go through them and come out with what we liked on both. And we did, you know, I went to the one in Baltimore, my wife went to the one in Chicago. And she said the Chicago draft was really good. The powers be said it wasn't. And they finally, one of my other sponsors, said they called him for help. And he said, I'm not doing anything unless literature committees are involved. And they handed them to regional lit committees and came up with what we have now, which is It Works, How, and Why, which we used to fondly refer to as It Sucks, We and Them. And it took me several years to be able to read the It Works book at all. They came out with a special edition It Works. These are numbered with gold on the edges. And then they also came out with a regular edition of that. All the stuff up here on the table are things that I've put out. They're my personal collection. Please don't take any of them. But they're out here so that you can actually take a look at them and hold them in your hands and see stuff like that. There's some real interesting early IPs that were... Some of these never made it. A physician's viewpoint. Like, if you look at the numbering on the IP, somebody was asking me earlier, we skipped some numbers. Well, that's because there was IPs that were approved but later taken off, and they've never replaced them. Getting involved, what can I do? So you love an addict. Was the other one. For those we love and others. These were, they made a motion to give them to Narnon. We made a decision. There was another one, getting realer. I thought that was cool. There's something down there. The first newsletter in NA from the World Service Office was called the Mainline, which I thought was cool. And there's a couple editions of that up at the front. And the next one that's closer to what we call, the NA way that we know is called the Voice. And this is the second newsletter that they have in NA from the World Service Office. And the third one is the... the NA Way. And you can go online and get the NA Way for free. You can write to World Service Office and they'll mail it to you for free. It now comes out, instead of every month, it comes out quarterly, but they do it in like 6 and 7 different languages, so it goes all around the world. And you can write articles and pieces and send them into the NA Way magazine. The early years of the NA Way, each one was a same color, two-color job like this. The first one is gold, and there was two printings. There was a little one that was a little bit smaller, was the actual first edition, and then there was a second gold on gold, which is also considered a first. The stuff that I was involved with in the mid-80s, I came up to D.C. Washington was putting on a bid for the World Convention, and it was typical of NA, the rest of us that were on the other side, were bidding against them, we all came to support their stuff. And they had a fundraiser to raise money for their bid at one of the colleges in D.C., and we all showed up there. We'd been, talking a lot. There was this little card that was being given out through the literature committee, and on that card it said Anonymi. And Anonymi was a worldwide NA home group whose trusted servants often, had difficulty and would gather together at different functions to get more energy and go back out. And what we were having difficulty was that we were coming together, learning when they were writing the book, learning about addiction, one disease, one program, that we don't have, that there aren't two diseases and that you can recover in NA. And I started going to all the early conventions because this was the time of the first conventions. It was like first Philadelphia, first New York, first, and we'd like run to all these different places. And I went out to Tennessee and I went, I was being cool, when you're cool and you're a newcomer, you got a couple of years, what do? You go to each meeting and raise your hand so you can say some really wise shit, right? So at the end of this meeting, this guy from Tennessee who I'd met a couple months earlier, this guy Joseph, walks up to me, who's a friend of my buddy Larry's, and he says to me, you must have spoken on every one of them tapes. I thought, who is this asshole? He said, I heard you identifying yourself as being clean and sober. I said, well, yeah, I'm physically clean from drugs, and I'm emotionally, spiritually sober. He said, I looked up the dictionary definition of the word sober, and it means somber, serious, moderate, and not drunk. He said, I can't limit my recovery that way. He said, I looked up the dictionary definition of the word clean, and it means free from dirt and disease. He said, and I go to NA not only to get physically clean, but spiritually clean, emotionally clean, clean in the way I deal with the world. He said, where do you find your recovery? I said, well, I go to the NA meetings, but I work in treatment. 2-year wonder of Mr. Recovery, I work in treatment. I have the keys to the van. Oh, yeah. I tell him, it's so easy to look good when you're standing next to somebody who's puking on his shoes, right? So He said, you know, I said, so I go to the noon meeting, but I go to the AA clubhouse at, you know, noon. I go to the NA meetings I can get to. He said, well, you know, all my life I never made a commitment anywhere. He said, if I didn't like this group of friends, I'd go to this group of friends. If I didn't like this girl, I'd have another one on the other side. He said, if I didn't like this school, he said, you need to make a decision where you're going to recover. He said, if they need a speaker for NA on Tuesday, would you be missed? I said, well, yeah, there's only like eight of us. He said, well, what if they need somebody in the A meeting to chair? He said, well, they got 100 people there. So you need to decide where you can best be of service and make a commitment. And then when the service arguments get difficult, you can't take your ball and go home. You got to stick it out and grow up. You know, I said to him, thanks for sharing, buddy. Fuck out of here. Went back home to Virginia Beach, and I know where I was the next day, right back at the noon AA clubhouse, you know, and sitting in that chair, you know, and they picked on me on some topic, and I went up and spoke, and I didn't share about my drug use. I did say I was a drug addict. And at the end of the meeting, this old drunk stomps up to me and says, we don't talk about drugs in here. Okay, you know, and he wandered out the door, and guess where I was the next day? Same damn chair. Tell me I can't be here. I just picked up my 2-year gold coin. Who does he think he thinks he is? And I'm sitting in this meeting, and this little quiet voice comes in the back of my head and says, what are you doing here? I thought, resentment. I said, is that any reason to attend the 12-step fellowship? And I said, no. And I got up out of that noon meeting, and I made a commitment to go to Only NA for my recovery. And that was like 1983, so almost 84. And the next time I saw that jerk from Memphis, I asked him to be my sponsor. Because he talked to me about integrity. He talked to me about putting my money where my mouth is. And, you know, the old story is there's nothing worse than a convert, right? Like, 2 weeks ago I was clean and sober, now I'm just clean. And if you said sober in my meeting, I'd hit you with a basic text. Keep coming back. It gets better. Yeah, the S word. So, you know, we became really radical, you know. And the reason was we were scared to death. You know, when I went to NA in the early, you know, the early 80s, you know, Wednesday night was Junks and Drunks. That was my home group. Thursday night was Portsmouth. Friday night was Virginia Beach. Saturday night was Hampton. Back to Hampton on Sunday, Monday. Each night we went to NA, it was a 40-minute drive each way. And that's just how we went to NA. And we didn't even think anything about it. That's just the way it is. And so we became, you know, kind of hot about the whole thing and very defensive. So what happens? This friend of mine, Jimmy from Trenton, shows up at the, he came to this meeting in D.C. This was about a year or so later, and, you know, we're starting to get a clique of people that are, you know, hardcore NA. And we sat up late at this thing and had this joking thing about the 24 rules and regulations of being a purist. And there was an article in the NA, early NA Way magazine that said, what about these people who talk about only going to NA and they're clean and they don't, you know. They said, are these people radicals? And it said, no, they're purists. So, you know, that's what we took that from. And Jimmy came back at the next function and had this little newsletter called The Purist News, Volume 1, Number 1. And it had a manifesto of being clean and being an addict in NA. And we ran with that stuff. And we printed those and handed them out everywhere. I took some to England, to this world thing over there, European Service Conference, and I got called into the World Board group, you know, mucky mucks, and, you know, and the Bob Stone, the manager of the office, says, well, you know, I'm the manager of the office, so I become the central point of all information. And he whips this thing out and goes, and we want to know what this movement's about. You know, and I wanted to go, too late, Bob. It's like a done deal, you know. You know, I was a chicken shit back then. I didn't stand up for you. I'm sorry, Bob. I just left some on the table at the meeting in England and then got back to Denmark. But you can't stop an idea, you know. You can stop a piece of paper, but you can't stop an idea. And what happened was, you know, it was a short while later that we reviewed the white book and took out the you know, and did the clarity and all that. You know, that little card that I was given by my sponsor, Joseph, it was that little Anonymi card, and the Anonymi people say that it's still alive and well and all that. And, you know, one of the lines on the original card said that this group's primary purpose is to disband. And I thought, isn't that cool? An NA group whose primary purpose is to no longer be needed. Right? And I was living down in Montgomery, Alabama, and I went down, I was driving, I went up to Tennessee for something, I was coming back, and Montgomery's clear NA message, and you know, and there's a lot of love there, and when we go around the room, everybody's an addict, and I was driving back, and I was thinking to myself, what was the name of that group? I couldn't remember the name. It was no longer needed. Because we're all addicts in NA and we're all clean today by the grace of God. Thank you.